Christ, the living Jesus. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your grace and mercies. Thank you, Lord, for everything you have done in our lives. Thank you for your power that is changing our lives for good. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings that we get on daily basis. Thank you for making impossible things possible in our lives. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for all the benefits we have in fellowshipping with you, in knowing you, in knowing your word. Thank you for making us to enjoy these benefits. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for helping us to become better than who we want to be. Thank you for making us grow in the knowledge of you, in the knowledge of your ways. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for the understanding of your truth you have given to us. Thank you for the understanding of your ways you have taught us. Thank you, Father. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you for just concluded 30 days fasting we have done in the ministry. Thank you for many wonderful things you have performed in our lives through this fast. Thank you for greater things that are coming into our lives because of this fasting. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. I ask, O Lord, that even as we have come together to lay at your feet this evening, this night, O Lord, speak to us expressly by your Holy Spirit. Make us to see new things we haven't seen before in your word, in the name of Jesus. And let great transformation be birthed in our lives through the teaching of tonight. Thank you, Father, because we know you will do even more than our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. I am going to continue from where we stopped. last class? Remember that we have been looking at part 4. Part 4 of the teaching that says building a strong discerning spirit. And the part 4 is discerning the realms of witchcraft. The realms of witchcraft and demons. Discerning the realms of witchcraft and demons. And we have talked on several topics under this part 4. And the topic we would be looking at tonight is going to be the last topic under this platform. So the next Bible study class would be part 5. Yeah, we'll be moving to part 5 by next class. And that part 5 is going to be, by the time we are done with part 5, then we'll be done with this series that is titled Building a Strong Discerning Spirit. I believe you understand. Yeah, so I'm going to be talking on overcoming witchcraft influence, dominion, and control. Overcoming witchcraft influence, dominion, and control. Overcoming witchcraft influence, dominion, and control. This topic is a little bit similar to the one that has to do with witchcraft covenants and rituals. Yeah. There was a topic that says destroying witchcraft rituals and blood covenants. Yes, that was the topic. Yeah, so what the one we are looking at tonight is a little bit similar to that topic that says destroying witchcraft rituals and blood covenants. So, which means that everything I said under that topic can also be applicable here under this topic. I believe you understand what I'm saying. Tonight's topic is overcoming witchcraft influence, dominion, and control. And I said all that I thought on. All that I taught on during the teaching that has the topic destroying witchcraft rituals and blood covenant. You can also apply all that I said during that teaching into this topic as well, so you can literally bring all those points and put it here also. Yeah, but I'm not going to be repeating the points that I new points. Yeah, different points or other points. Amen. So, I will be talking on several things here. Overcoming witchcraft influence, witchcraft dominion, and witchcraft control. I will be talking on several things, and I want you to pay attention. I want you to pay attention. The first thing I will be talking on is get rid of legal grounds. Get rid of legal grounds. Get rid of legal grounds. What are legal grounds? A legal ground is something that the enemy is holding on to. Something the enemy is holding on to as a standing point to attack and defeat you. Something the enemy is holding on to as a standing point to attack and defeat you. That is, as long as they are able to stand on that thing, you cannot win them. That's a legal ground. A legal ground is something the enemy is holding on to as a standing point to fight and defeat you, to attack and conquer you. Yeah, so that thing is their power, is the power they have over you. Yeah, and there is no way you can win them when they have a legal ground against you. There's no way you can win them. No matter how much you fast and pray, no matter how much you speak in tongues, no matter how much you declare the scriptures, confess the scriptures, speak out the scriptures. Yeah, no matter the spiritual exercise you do, once the enemy have a legal ground against you, you can never win them. They will always win. So a legal ground is a standing point that the enemy stands upon to fight and conquer you. A legal ground is also the power the enemy has over you. And that access. Yeah. That is how our legal ground is. It is usually we Christians that gives that ground to the enemy. So once we give the enemy that ground, they are able to stand on that ground and fight us and conquer us. bigger grounds to fight and attack me. Well, you can say that legal grounds are sinful grounds. Sinful grounds. That is, you give the enemy that ground through sin. Yeah, you give the enemy legal grounds over your life through your sin. Yeah, through your sins. You know, there are different scriptures that talks against all manner of sins that we commit today. All manner of sins that we commit in the world today. That people commit, both believers and unbelievers. There are so many scriptures that speaks against them. And also there are a lot of scriptures that decrees judgments of God on those who commit sins. I mean, those who commit all kinds of sins that people commit today in the world. There are a lot of scriptures that shows God's judgment for such people. So now, this is what the kingdom of darkness does. They know that God don't do against his word. They know God very well. You know, Satan and all those demons, they are fallen angels. So they have been with God for a very long time, for billions of years. We don't know how many years. You know, there's no count of years in the kingdom of God, because it is eternal life. Yeah. Everlasting life that is in the kingdom of God. So there is no end to the count. In fact, there's no day and night there. Yeah, there's no time there. So there's no calendar, there's no years. So we cannot say that the fallen angels spent a certain number of years in heaven before they fell. But we know that they had been with God for a very long time. So they know God a lot. Satan knows God a lot. At least the one he was able to know before he fell. So also, the demons, I mean the other fallen angels, they know God a lot. So one thing they know about God is that God will not go against his word. God will not say something and then say again that he doesn't say that. Yeah, so God is always true to his word. And that is what they are doing when it comes to using legal grounds against Christians. Yeah, they take advantage of the fact that God go against his word. They take advantage of the fact that God will not do anything outside of his woman. He will not do anything that contradicts his word. He will not have a different plan that is different. I mean, that is not what he has said or revealed in his word. So they know God to be unchangeable, to be faithful. Yeah, so what they do is that they look at the Bible, and then they look at all the commandments and all the instructions that God wants everyone to follow. All the commandments that God wants you to follow. And then they also look at the wrath of God, the judgment of God, the anger of God that is upon those who don't follow the commandments in the scriptures, the laws in the scriptures, the precepts, the doctrines in the scriptures. Yeah. So once they are able to hold those two things, number one, they are able to hold your life side by side with everything God have written in the Bible for you to follow. And then they're also able to hold your life side by side with all the judgment of God, wrath of God, anger of God that is upon whoever does not obey the commandments of God. So they are able to hold people side by side with these things. So if they discover that you fail in one of these commandments, if the kingdom of darkness, Satan, and the demons, if they discover that you fail in one of these commandments, that becomes a legal ground. I believe you understand it. So that becomes a legal ground. So they are able to stand on that point. They're able to stand on the fact that you did not do what the scripture said you should do. They're able to stand on it. And as long as they are standing on that fact, you cannot win them. No matter how hard you pray and fast, you can't win them. They will always win you until you repent and begin to do what God says in his word. And not only that, you know, I said that they will also hold your life side by side, more like they are measuring your life with those things that are in the Bible. Yeah, so once they discovered in the kingdom of darkness that you have failed in one of the laws and commandments, so now they will also check for the judgment, the punishment, the wrath that is also in the Bible for whoever disobeys God. Yeah, and they will unleash all their demons, all their agents, you are getting the point. Yeah, they will release all their demons to carry out the judgment that is in the Bible for those that did not obey the will of God, obey the word of God, obey the voice of God. So they will unleash all their demons to carry out those judgments. Yeah. So, it is important to check for legal grounds even before you open your mouth to start praying. It is important to check for legal grounds even before you start fasting. It is important to check for legal grounds before you start fighting in spiritual warfare. Yeah, because you might sustain wounds. You might even die. Yeah. You might die. Yeah, because once they have a legal ground against you, it means you will be weak against them. And they will win. I knew of a brother. I don't know if I've told you about him before. I knew of a brother who went into, I think he went into maybe 7 days dry fasting. I don't know what he was praying for. But he was attacked during the process of the farm, and he ran mad. He was attacked during that fast, and he went mad. That is, he developed a mental problem or a mental illness. Yeah, for many years. I think at that time he was in second year in the university. Yeah, he couldn't continue in the university. Yeah, and recently, maybe sometime last year, he eventually died. So for a long time, for many years, maybe for I don't know, maybe for up to 8 or 10 years. Yeah, because that's been a long time. He couldn't return back to school because of the mental illness, and he was not healed, and he died maybe last year. Yeah. So what happened? I remember when he was having that mental problem, we were praying for him. Yeah, as brethren, we're praying for him, and one of the things God showed me then when we're praying for him was that he was fighting very terrible principalities, terrible demons, and he was not ready to face such. He was not ready to face such level of darkness or such kind of high level darkness or high level powers. So which means that there were legal grounds in his life. Yeah, there were things he was not doing well. Though he was fasting, maybe he was asking for God's power. I don't know, maybe he was asking for more anointing, more power, more grace. Maybe he was asking that God would use him mightily. But in the process of the fast, he met with some forces that were stronger than him. And they struck him down with madness. Yeah. So he was not well informed that there are some things you must have dealt with in your life, in your heart, in your mind, before you go on some serious spiritual journey or serious spiritual warfare against the enemy. Yeah, it wasn't well informed. So that was how the enemy prevailed over him. So he was spiritually immatured and was trying to deal with forces that are only meant for matured believers. Yeah. So you must check for legal grounds. So that is the first point under overcoming witchcraft influence, dominion, and control. Yeah, the first thing you have to do is get rid of legal grounds. Get rid of legal grounds. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 27. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27. It says, neither give place to the devil, neither give place to the devil. When you give place to the devil, that is a legal ground. Yeah, when you set your mind to think in a way that is not spiritual, not godly, not heavenly, then expect the devil strike you and prevail. Yeah, when you embrace things that the kingdom of heaven dislikes or disapproves or rejects, then you should get ready for the devil to strike you and prevail. Yeah, when you accommodate pride, lust, anger, bitterness in your life, get ready for the devil to strike you and prevail. Yeah, so if you give place for the devil, then the devil will come and strike and win. So these are legal grounds. Now, when you do something that gives the enemy access into your life, access to rule over you, access to conquer you. So every form of sin is a legal ground. Every form of sin is a legal ground. Yeah. So if you really want to overcome witchcraft, you want to destroy their influences, their control, their dominion, the first thing you should pay attention to is holiness and purity. Are you holy? Are you pure? you happen to give the enemy one blow. Bah! Don't think they would just... they would just sit down there and not come back. They will surely come back. They will retaliate. So you can't just strike the enemy and think they will not come back to strike you. They will come back. Yeah. But what will keep you safe when they come back is these things I'm talking about. The fact that you have dealt with legal grounds that will make them succeed by the time they retaliate. Yeah, so you strike them, maybe through your fastings, midnight prayers, warfare prayers. So you have given them a blow. Now, don't think they will not come back to strike you. They are definitely going to come back. Yeah, but if you are in right standing with God, you have nothing to fear. Let them come back. Still lose. But if you are not in right standing with God, then they might win when they come back, when they retaliate. Yeah, so this is why you must get rid of legal grounds. Yeah, when you are dealing with witchcraft. We know of pastors that the same sicknesses and diseases, God used them to drive out of people. The same demons that God used them to cast out of people's lives is the same demons and sicknesses that killed them. Yeah. Because those forces, they came back. And when they came back, they could not find holiness. They couldn't find purity. So that was why they finished the life of those pastors. So you will see many of them dying of the same sicknesses they cast out of people's lives. It's a sign that they created legal grounds for the enemy. It's not God that made them to die. They killed themselves. Many of those pastors that did not finish their ministries, they did not complete the assignment God gave them because they died untimely. Many of them were killed by the devil because they created legal grounds for the devil. Yeah. It's not God that called them to come home. Yeah, it's the legal grounds they created. Yeah, so there is nothing to fear when there is no legal grounds. Like, as I have nothing to fear when I'm fighting these forces. Yeah, because I would not create a legal ground. Yeah, and then another scripture is John 14, verse 30. John chapter 14. Verse 30. Hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. John 14, verse 30. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. Yeah, Jesus is saying that there is nothing devil can use to hold me down. Yeah. He's saying that I can now live and go to heaven. Yeah, because there is nothing of this world that nothing of this world devil can use to hold me down. So Satan has searched me and he has none of his properties in me. Satan has searched me and he has none of his darkness in me. Yeah. So that is how to overcome witchcraft. When there is nothing in you that is of darkness. Yeah. The reason why the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross of Calvary remains powerful until this day and until forever is because Satan could find nothing in Jesus. None of his darkness and none of his properties in Jesus. So Jesus died as a spotless lamb. Spotless, blameless lamb. 100% pure and holy. So that made his sacrifice the most powerful sacrifice. Yeah, that made his blood most powerful. Yeah. So if there had been any darkness in Jesus, even if it was 0.00005%, he would not have that authority that he have now. Yeah. So if we also want to exercise the highest authority of all, which is the authority of Jesus Christ, then we must be spotless, even as Jesus is and was. I pray that the Lord will give you understanding. Now let's move to the second point. Remember that we are talking on overcoming witchcraft influence, dominion, and control. The second point is trust the Holy Spirit to give you weapons and train you to use them. Trust the Holy Spirit to give you weapons of war, spiritual weapons, divine weapons, heavenly weapons, and trust Him to use you. To teach you to use them, to teach you how to use them. Now, if you look at the book of Psalm 18, verse 34, Psalm 18, verse 34, this is David speaking. We know David as a mighty warrior. This is David speaking. He said, "He teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken by mine arms. He teacheth my hands to war." So God taught David how to fight the enemy. And that is why there is no battle David fought. You can read all your Bible. You can read all the accounts of David in the Bible. You will see there that there is no battle David fought and lost. Yeah, and in fact, even the men David trained, if you check the accounts in the Bible, you will see that those men always win battles. Yeah, so God taught David secrets to win battles. And he never lost a battle because God taught him how to fight the enemy. Yeah. Likewise, God taught me how to fight in the midst of recovered a lot of weapons. Not that I sat down and said, God, give me the weapons. God, give me the weapons to defeat the witchcraft prevailing in this environment. And then I'm waiting for the weapon to come. No, that was not how I discovered those weapons. I discovered those weapons in the battlefield. When God saw that I was not going to give up fighting the enemy. And when God saw that I completely depend on him. Yeah, when the Holy Spirit saw that I am depending on him 100% for victory and not on myself and not on the fact that I know how to create prayer points. Yeah. When he saw that I am depending only on him, then while I was in the battlefield, he began to tell me, now use this weapon. Then after I've used that weapon and I've gotten victories, and then he was okay, stop there. Use these other weapons. Use this other weapon. Yeah. So that was how I grew to become a terror to the kingdom of darkness and to agents of darkness. I grew to become a terror, to become a dangerous warrior, because I always trust the Holy Spirit for directions and for weapons. Yeah, so I don't believe that I know how to win any battle, even up to now. Yeah, if you look at our ministry, we have a lot of prayer points. And of course, a lot of spiritual warfare prayer points. Now, the fact that there are many prayer points to use to fight doesn't mean that I don't trust the Holy Spirit. In fact, I as a person, I have grown beyond those prayer points. So many times, I don't even use those prayer points. Yeah. But you have to use prayer points. That is why God is using me to give many prayer points to people. But there's a level that you will get to. Maybe after you have prayed a lot of prayer points, there's a level that you will get to and God will begin to tell you more about the forces you're fighting, and he'll begin to tell you, give you strategic weapons to use against them. Yeah. In fact, the weapons you used yesterday to fight the enemy, don't think that weapon of yesterday is the same you are going to use today. Even though the one you used yesterday was powerful, you could feel victorious. Don't think that weapon you used yesterday is the one that will give you victory today. Yeah. So always depend on the Holy Spirit. That was how David learned to fight and to conquer. And of course, if you read about David, you will see a lot of miracles in his warfare. Yeah, God used to fight alongside with him. As he's fighting, God is also fighting alongside with him, because he depended on God. He always depend on God. Yeah. So don't feel like I have a lot of prayer points. Yeah. That is not enough. There's a higher rank than prayer points. Yeah. And my prayer is that able to see the darkness like the way I do spiritual warfare. I do spiritual warfare like the way two people are boxing, you know, boxing. The way two people are boxing in the ring, or the way two people are wrestling. So I do spiritual warfare in a very real way, that is, I'm seeing the enemy, like I see them face to face. I fight them, like I give them, I strike them, and I know how much pain they feel when I strike them. Yeah, so I fight them on a very close range. On a very close range. And I know where to hit and how to kill them. So more like I'm seeing them face to face. That's how I fight the enemy. Yeah. But sometimes when I'm doing spiritual warfare, I can't do it in an open place because some people might not understand what I'm doing. They might think maybe I have mental problem. Yeah, because I fight spirits like they are not spirits, like they are physical. Like I'm seeing them. That's how I fight them, because I'm seeing them for real. Yeah, and I know where to strike, and I know how to strike, and how to win, and I know which weapons to use every time, because I trust in the Holy Spirit to direct. Yeah, I trust the Holy Spirit to give those weapons. Yeah, so strive to get to that point in your spiritual warfare against witchcraft operations. Now, we are moving to point number three is give to the right halter. Give to the right halter. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 12 to 17. 2 Kings chapter 4. I might not read it, or let me read it, because this is Bible study. We have to read the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 4, 12 to 17. And he said to Gehazi, this is Elisha, and Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him, and he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king, or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. And he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, that is Elisha the prophet, said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life. Praise the Lord. Yeah, so you can see here that this Shunammite woman has been a very generous woman. She's a rich, I don't know how rich she was, but she you already reserve your room for Elisha in our building. There's a room there, and maybe Elisha would spend 6 months in that place. In fact, if Elisha would spend years in that area, she is willing to accommodate him and, you know, meet all his needs. Yeah, so she had been doing that. Yeah, and Elisha felt like, no, we need to do something in return for this woman. So he called his servant. Tell this woman, what can we do for her? And you know, at that time, Elisha had a lot of connections. Elisha, he knows the king of Israel, one-on-one. He knows many big people, great people. So Elisha was like, can I talk to you? Can I talk to the king about you so that he can give you some benefits? But the woman said, I'm comfortable. I will stay among my own people. But Elisha was not still comfortable in his spirit. So he felt like something must be done for this woman. She has done a lot. So she needs to be rewarded. Then he spoke to his servant. What do you think is in this woman's life? What need do you think is in this woman's life that we can do for her? Then Gehazi said, as you are seeing her, she has no child. And even the husband is old. And the prophet now said, wow, okay, that one is simple. You know, Elisha has the keys to many miracles. So he just told the woman, he said, by this time, you will conceive and have a child. Yeah, and of course, you know the rest of the story, she conceived. Now, what I'm saying here is that giving, generous giving, sacrificial giving to the right altar as a way of provoking power to action. Yeah. Yeah, we also saw how Solomon sacrificed, I think, 1,000 burnt offerings. And it provoked God to visit him. Now, giving is one of the very powerful weapon against witchcraft. Yeah. There are several examples, but we don't have much time. Even in our present day world, how people give sacrificially and God could not hold himself, and God began to walk, and God delivered them of so many things. Yeah, I learned of a brother who is a philanthropist. He used to help a lot of people. So I guess he helped some people, and maybe those people had some curses on their lives, because there are people you should not help. Yeah, if you help someone that is under God's punishment, or someone that has a curse from God, yeah, it's not only devil that curses people. God also puts curses on people. Especially people that have been committing sin against God persistently. So there's a level where God would hand them over to Satan. Yeah. So that Satan can deal with them. So that is a curse. Yeah. The Bible says that those who could not retain the knowledge of God in their minds anymore, ever to reprobate mind, to begin to do things that are not convenient. Yeah. So if you help people that God already have judged, and the judgment of, maybe the judgment of God on that person is that they should never get help, and anyone that tries to help them will also be judged. So if you happen to go and help such people, it's possible that devil will strike you, because it means you have also been judged. And mind you, God used devil to judge. In fact, the most common judgment of God is that he will withdraw his hand from that person's life. So that's what it means when God judges people. Most times when God judges people, what he does is he withdraws his mercy from that person's life. And then he hands over that person to Satan. So anyone that helps someone that God already handed over to Satan, it's possible that Satan will also have a legal ground to strike that person. Yeah, so I don't know, maybe that was what happened to that brother, because he used to help a lot of people. So then Satan struck him, and when Satan the attack came upon his mother, and his mother was going to die. Satan struck his mother with a very deadly disease, and the mother was going to die. And he was like, God, you can't let this happen to me. With all that I do for people, with all that I do for you. So somehow, because God is merciful, somehow God now gave him a revelation. Yeah, God said, send this amount of money to this particular man of God. And in fact, don't even inform the man of God that you are going to send anything. Yeah, so the man somehow just got, he looked for a way to get the personal account number of that man of God. And the money was a lot of money. The money is not what he would give on a normal day. Yeah. So immediately he gave that money. The mother's sickness disappeared immediately. He did that sacrificial giving. That sickness disappeared, and the mother lived till today. Now, what I'm saying is that there are some altars that is so connected to heaven, like the altar of Elisha, for instance. I mean, the prayer altar of Elisha was so connected to, in fact, it's like heaven on earth, his prayer altar. Yeah, so when that woman kept on helping Elisha, and she was just doing it because that is who she is. So she did it to a point, and Elisha felt like, no, it's either I do something in return, or I stop this woman from giving. So the giving provoked the power of God in them on that altar to do something, because God cannot hold you. God has to reward. Yeah. God can never owe you. He has to reward you. Yeah. So, there are some problems in your life that it's possible you have not, I mean, problems caused by witchcraft. And it's possible that you have not built the kind of authority. Maybe it might take you the next 15 years to build that kind of authority that can crush those kind of problems. Yeah, and then God has placed your victory over that problem. God has placed it inside giving. Yeah, so God is waiting for know, for the time you will begin to give sacrificially to his altar, maybe his altar in the life of a man of God, or his altar in the ministry, in the church. So God is waiting till you begin to give sacrificially. I mean, give money, that amount of money that you would not, in your right mind, want to give anyone. Yeah, because to you, it looks like it's a lot of money. Yeah, so those are sacrificial giving. So, and then God is waiting for when you will begin to give out in that way. Then you will just invoke the authority in that altar against that problem in your life. And before you know it, the problem will just vanish away. Yeah. You know, sometimes some people don't want me to talk about things like this. Yeah, because they feel like you are now sounding like those false pastors. You are now sounding like those false prophets that will tell you bring to so amount and blame will disappear. Yeah. I might sound like them, but the motive is different. Yeah. Those people, they are doing it the wrong way. And of course, many of them don't even have that presence of God, that authority of God in their ministries that is able to solve problems in people's lives. So many of them, they don't even have strong relationship with God, because if they have, they would not even be placing an amount of money on getting answers to their problems. Yeah. So the fact that some people have abused this truth, this revelation that I'm telling you, does not mean that it's not working. I don't know if you are getting my point. The fact that some pastors and ministries have abused the power of sacrificial giving does not mean that it doesn't work when you give to the right altar. And when you do it in the right place, at the right time, with the right mind. Yeah. I hope you get my point. Yeah, so it's still working, because it is part of those things that have brought me to where I am today. This sacrificial giving is part of the things that brought me to where I am today. I've given out some amount of money that some people thought I'm already a millionaire. Yeah, that's only people that count millions can give like this. And whereas I was no millionaire. Yeah, because I know what I was doing, and I know what I'm looking for to give like that. And of course, it's between me and God. It's not even about the person or the ministry I give to. It's just between me and God, because I know what I'm looking for. Yeah. So because some people have abused it, doesn't mean it's not working. So if you're saying I can't give anything, I can't give any money anywhere, anyone that is asking for my money is a false prophet, well, you will just stay there. Yeah. You will just stay at that level. And you will see yourself reascend to some heights. Yeah. Because God has really put some things in that aspect. I mean, some breakthroughs, some deliverances, some solutions. God has put it inside sacrificial giving. So if you are trying to avoid it, because because you feel like you don't want anyone to just take my money. Well, you are limiting yourself. You're not limiting whoever you are saying should not take your money or spend your money. You are limiting yourself. So the fact that some people have abused this truth doesn't mean it's not real. It doesn't mean it's not working. I pray that God will give you understanding. Let's move on. We don't have much time left. Yeah, so I'm going to round up very soon. If you look at, okay, now point number four. Point number four. A lifestyle of fasting. A lifestyle of fasting. That is another way of overcoming witchcraft influence, dominion and control. A lifestyle of fasting. Now, if you look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 to 21, you will see the disciples not being able to cast out a demon. And they're not being able to cast out a particular demon. And they came and of course Jesus showed up and he drove out the demon. And then they came to Jesus and said, why can't we do it? And Jesus told them, number one, that it's because you don't have enough faith. And then number two, Jesus said, this kind of demons don't go if you have not added fasting to your prayer life. Yeah. So, which means that some battles you don't win some battles without fasting, without living a lifestyle of fasting. Yeah. Like in this ministry, we fast twice every week, apart from the annual fasting we do. And even those two times in a week, some of you still find it difficult to fast just two times in a week. So you need to live a lifestyle of fasting. That is, you can do it anytime, because it's part of your life. Not just because we say fast in the ministry, but because you felt like I have prayed, you know, you felt like you have prayed to a point and then you felt like what is needed at this point is to fast. Fasting is a kind of fuel to prayers. It speeds up the manifestation of victories in prayers. So if you are really a prayerful Christian, you will pray to a point where you will know that at this point I need to add fasting. I don't know if you have prayed to that point before. That you are, you know, that you get to a point and then you feel like now is the time to bring in fasting. Yeah. Yeah, because after that time you know in yourself that fasting is what will bring results. Yeah, not that you're waiting till apostles say there's another fasting we are going to do, but that you give yourself fasting yourself, because you know that you are dealing with some forces that are very strong, and then you know that it is time to fast so that I can crush these forces. So a lifestyle of fasting is very important in defeating witchcraft. And then the last point is fight back immediately when attacked. Fight back immediately when attacked. Stop accumulating harm. harrows. Stop accumulating harrows. Yeah, God taught me this wisdom. And since that time, it has been working in my life. So I don't accumulate arrows. Yeah, let's say an arrow from the kingdom of darkness was able to strike me. Maybe when I was not sensitive enough, or when I was carnally minded, and an arrow was able to fly and get me. Instantly, I will start praying. Some of you, when you get attacked in the dream, and then you just wake up from the dream and say, you just say, I cancel that attack. I bind the attack. I send it back to sender. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And then you know that prayer did not, you can't feel the victory. I mean, you know in your spirit that this short prayer I did after this attack in my dream, you know that it's not enough. I mean, you knew in your spirit that it's not enough. But you just pray that short prayer and then you just feel like, there's no need to pray again. I've sent the attack back. But whereas the attack is still there, it's not back. I mean, it has not gone back. Yeah, so you have to pray until the arrow goes out of your body, goes out of your spirit. So when you get attacked in dreams, you wake up and then you start praying. You can pray for the next 3 hours, 4 hours, pray until you can sense victory in your spirit. Yeah. Not that you just continue like that and then the following day they send another attack and then you just pray that short prayer again. And then the other time they send the attack, just pray. Then your body, soul and spirit begin to accumulate attacks and arrows. Arrows upon arrows. And then by the time you now pray down, maybe one terrible disease now showed up. And then you now be running to the man of God. Please pray for me. I don't know what's going on. This problem just suddenly. It is your fault. And some of those Christians, they'll be expecting that the problem just disappear once the man of God prayed. The problem will just leave. And the problems will not leave. Because the problem is as a result of several arrows, accumulated arrows of darkness. And we don't know how long those arrows have accumulated. Maybe 4-5 years. And then the end product of the arrows now manifested. Then they are now wanting a single prayer from a man of God to just drive out problems that have been accumulating for some years, and you did nothing about those attacks. And then you just want a single prayer of a man of God to just end that problem. Problem that took years to pile up in your life. It's not going to work like that. It won't work like that. So stop looking for fast food solutions to problems that you know how many years they have been accumulating. Attacks that you know have been accumulating in your life for several years before you get born again or before you get enlightened. Yeah, but that's not the focus of the teaching. My focus is that even now, don't accumulate arrows. Yeah. When you feel that you have been attacked, send that attack back immediately. Don't wait. Go into prayer and fasting immediately until you can sense victory in your spirit. Yeah, we have an example here. Even though this example might not look like an attack to you, but it is indeed an attack. In Galatians chapter 2, Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. I'm going to read it, then we are going to round off the teaching. One of the reasons why I take long is because we started a bit late. Yeah, I didn't start exactly exactly 9 p.m. Nigerian time. Let's quickly read Galatians chapter 2, verse 11 to 14. Galatians 2, 11 to 14. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that something came from James, he did hit with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and secreted himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? Now, this was an attack on Paul's ministry. Yeah, Peter came to check what God was doing through Paul among the Gentiles. And Peter, when he came, he was free with everyone. I mean, he was free with all the Gentiles. He was hitting with them, associating with them. Yeah, but when other Jews came, Peter was not trying to withdraw all that he had been doing before they came, because he feared that the Jews would begin to condemn him, that why are you so much associating with the Gentiles on a very close range, on a very close manner. Yeah. So, Peter was kind of doing an eye service in that place or at that time. So, and Paul knew that this is an attack. This is the devil trying to do something to my ministry. Instantly, he did not look at, because Peter was the chief apostle, because Jesus directly handed over the church to Peter. He didn't look at the title or the position of Peter. He withstood him, though not arrogantly, but in love. He corrected him. He withstood him to the face and said, no, you can't do that. That is hypocrisy. Yeah. So he did not wait till maybe the following week. He addressed the issue instantly. He stopped the attack instantly. Yeah. In verse 14 it says, but when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel. So when he saw that something is going on here that is not according to the truth, he defended himself and his ministry instantly. Yeah. So the same way you should do when you notice any form of attack coming in, you should fight back immediately. Don't wait till that thing begins to grow and germinate and destroy good things in your life. Yeah, so we're going to stop here. Remember, stop accumulating attacks. Yeah, of course, giving is a virtue. Yeah, let us pray. If you have any question, task on our Telegram group. Yeah, what I said there is in response to what our sister typed in about giving. Yeah, it's a virtue, but before that virtue becomes part of you, you have a lot of battle to fight. There's a spirit in every man that wants every man to be selfish. Yeah. Even those people that claim that they are generous by nature, they can give anything. There is always a point in their lives that they prefer themselves more than others. And some of them, they even try to use that gift to control their soul. They try to use the gift to promote their pride. Some, they try to use the gift to control those that are receiving their gift from them. That is, when they give you something, they are giving you so that they can control you and start dictating to you what to do and what not to do. More like they are using the gift to enslave the receiver of their gift, just like what some philanthropists do. And a lot of philanthropists are controlling many countries in Africa, even controlling the government, because they have given out maybe millions of dollars or billions of dollars. So they feel like everyone that received their gifts have to do what they want. Yeah, so we really have a lot of battle to fight. If you will give correctly, the way God wants you to give. And that is why in this ministry, I am going to make it difficult. I mean, God has shown me why we should make it difficult for people who are not ready to give correctly. We should make it difficult for them not to give. People who don't have the right mind and the right motive to give. God has taught me how to make it difficult for them to give. Yeah, so which is why I will hardly tell you that we need some things in the ministry. Yeah, I will hardly say it publicly. Yeah, because God wants anyone that will give to really give from the right heart. Yeah, but if I'm always announcing we need this, we need that, some people will not give from the right heart. And I don't want that kind of money in the ministry. So that is why God has raised up this ministry to start that revolution in the giving ministry in the church. There's a lot of pollution and corruption in the area of money in the body of Christ. So one of the things God is doing at this time is to make sure that those who really don't have the right mind to give don't have the opportunity to do it. Yeah, other churches might give them opportunity, but I'm not going to give them opportunity here. I'm not saying that you should not give, but I will not be talking about giving as they do in other ministries. So you would not even remember to do it, because it's not in your mind to do it. Yeah, but those that it's in their mind to do it, they would do it even without any announcement. I don't know if you are getting the point. Those that is in their mind to give, they would do it even without any announcement that we need this with, because they really want to do it. So that is why in this ministry we will not be collecting offerings like other churches. You know, other churches or ministries, they would every program, maybe Sunday program or whatever program, they would pass offering bags. It's time for offering, it's time for tithe. Yeah, they will pass the bags and then they will say, give. And it shall be given unto you, which is good, but I realize that is not helping the body of Christ. So let those who really want to give, give without offering bags. Yeah. Without, let them, of course, we will let them have the details of the church. Okay, this is the account details. Yeah, but let us not be suggesting that we need something. Let God provide the need by touching the hearts of people, touching the hearts of people that really want to give. Yeah, so that is what I believe in. Yeah. Let God work in the hearts of people, just as Moses announced when they were going to build the tabernacle. Moses announced and said, this is what God said we should do. Yeah. And he did not do it. He just did it once. So there's some announcement that I just do once, maybe once in a year. Or twice in a year. Yeah. And some I just don't do at all because God will tell me that don't bother to do it because those people are not ready to give. So I will not even do any announcement. And sometimes if God says, okay, do the announcement, I do. If he says don't, then it means God will provide for it and I don't need to announce anything. Yeah. So what I'm saying here is that let God work in people's hearts. So if we limit how much we do these announcements and these passing of offering bags, offering envelopes, and then we say, give your tithe, give offering. If we reduce the frequency of that, if we reduce how much we do that, then we will be able to have the right people with the right mind giving to God's work. Then it will be the right people giving with the right mind. But if we are always saying that, some people will just give because, well, I don't want to feel, yeah, I've really spent a lot of time. Yeah, so people will feel like, they feel like it would be a shame if I don't contribute. I don't want to feel out of the picture. Yeah, so I don't want that. Yeah, or we don't want that in this ministry. So what you said is good, giving is a virtue, but before it becomes your virtue, you have a lot of battle to fight with yourself, with selfishness. I mean, you have a lot of battle to fight. You have to kill that selfish spirit. So you have to destroy the selfishness that's in you that don't want you to give. Yeah, let us pray. Our Father, we thank you because you are so faithful. Thank you for everything that you have opened our eyes to see during the course of this Bible study class. Thank you for showing us from your scriptures, step by step, strategic principles to follow in destroying influences and dominion and control of witchcraft. Thank you for showing us how to remain in complete dominion over witchcraft operations forever. Thank you, Father. I ask all of that you help everyone who have listen to this teaching. Everyone here right now and those that will listen to this audio, I ask, oh Lord, that you help everyone to do what is needful so that they can constantly be in victory over the forces of witchcraft. Megagrounds, demons, and darkness have against them. Thank you, Father, because we know you will do even more. Blessed be your holy name. I pray for you that you will be strong despite what the enemy is doing to weaken your spirit at this time. I pray that the anointing of the Lord come upon you and strengthen you. And you shall rise in strength and become stronger than your enemies. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, faithful Lord. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen.
Goodbye.